Last year, I was talking to a friend of mine, and we were talking about not being noticed. And she said, well, it's almost as if I'm invisible. So I wrote a poem for her, and it's called Invisible. Have you seen her, my friend, the invisible woman? You may have done, but then you may not. After all, she's invisible. Have you ever been going to talk to someone when they go right past you and begin talking to someone else? Invisible. Have you waited in line to pay for your purchases but get passed over for the person next to you? Invisible. Have you made suggestions, contributions in a group of people only to be overlooked as if you didn't exist or weren't there? Invisible. Is it my age or an inability of others to value everyone, even the invisible? But my friend is not invisible to us, her friends. She is kind, loving, loyal, and always ready to listen to us. We value, appreciate her, and want her to know she will never be invisible to us. But my friend is never invisible to God. He listens, really listens. He always values and has time for her. She can never hide from him or be invisible.
Thank you, Sandy. Well, good morning, everyone. It's nice to be here gathered together on this Sunday morning. I want to start off by telling you a story. One morning, it was probably around 1980, I got up and I put my face on, did my hair and got dressed, and I put on a pair of ridiculously high-heeled boots and a very fashionable coat, and off I went to go to work. And it was back in the day when buses had open backs and you could jump on and off of buses quite legally. Anyway, I did all this, and I guess really by putting all that on and, you know, having my high-heeled boots and my coat, I just wanted to be noticed. I wanted to be seen as someone who fitted in that kind of London scene of the hip and happening young things. So I did all that, and off I went to work, and I jumped on this bus. And as we approached my destination, we were stood at traffic lights. So I decided that I would jump off the bus. And the heel of one of my shoes caught in the hem of my coat. And I did a fairly spectacular tumble just off Trafalgar Square. I was noticed. But it was for all the wrong reasons. You know, there I was, thinking I was so cool, and then within an instant, utterly humiliated. Why am I telling you that story? Well, I'm telling you because our theme this morning is on being noticed. We're going to be looking at two passages in the Bible, one from the Old Testament and one from the New. And there are times when we want to be noticed, and there are times when we absolutely do not want to be noticed. And you know, people sometimes will notice us for good reasons and sometimes for bad reasons. But God notices us all the time for every reason. So let's have a look first in the Old Testament. It's the story of a woman called Hagar. It's found in Genesis chapter 16. God had promised Abraham and Sarah a son. Or a child, actually. But years had gone by and nothing had happened. And so Sarah decides to take matters into her own hands. And as weirdly as it sounds to us today, she told Abraham to go and sleep with her Egyptian slave girl and have a son through her. Abraham agrees, and this slave girl, Hagar, gets pregnant. But then when that happens, Sarah gets really mean. And she starts being cruel to Hagar, and so Hagar runs away. And we read this in verse 7 of chapter 16. The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was the spring that is beside the road to Shur. And he said, Hagar, son of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going? I'm running away from my mistress, Sarai, she answered. Then the angel of the Lord told her, go back to your mistress and submit to her. The angel added, I will increase your descendants so much that they will be too numerous to count. And then in verse 13, she gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. You are El Roi, the God who sees me. For she said, I have now seen the one who sees me. So there's a couple of things I want to pull out of that story. First of all, it's the first time in the Bible where God is given a name, El Roi. It means the God who sees, or the God who sees me. Sees us when we're happy and full of joy and enjoying life and celebrating things like we've been this morning. When we don't mind being noticed. But he also sees me in my distress. Sees me and you in our moments of anxiousness and despair. Our brokenness. When we're at our wit's end and we just don't know what to do. God sees us. And he comes to us and he comforts us, just like he did to Hagar. He speaks words of life and hope and promise over us, just like he did with Hagar. Hagar was an Egyptian slave, so the Egyptians had many, many gods, and so her perception of a god would have been one who was far away and high and lofty and demanding of constant sacrifices and one to be feared. But then Hagar, this broken, scared, desperate slave girl, recognizes that this God is different. He is a God who sees and cares and who reaches out, and she can have life in his presence. A couple of Sundays ago, Jill unpacked the story of the prodigal son and talked about how sometimes we need to recalculate our understanding of who God is. He is our heavenly Father who longs for us to come to him. Not in fear with a million and one sacrifices, desperately trying to earn his favor, but to come to him knowing that he will welcome us as a father welcomes us home. So God sees her. He comforts her. He tells her what she must do, and he is faithful. Because actually, what he tells her to do, go back and submit to your mistress, this is going to be a tough road for her. As we read on through the story, she has a son, and when he's 12 years old, Abraham and Sarah have their own son, and then Sarah gets really horrible again, and Hagar has to run away again. But God sees her even there and is faithful. Just by way of interest, if you've ever wondered watching the news why there is such animosity between Muslims and Jews, you can trace it back to this story. God is a faithful God who never stops noticing and never stops walking with us. Okay, let's skip to the New Testament and read another story, probably one which is more familiar with you, and we've just had a dramatization of it this morning, found in Luke 19. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through, and a man there was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he couldn't see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed up a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house tonight. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this, and they began to mutter, He's gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." Zacchaeus is a very different person to Hagar. Hagar was a foreign slave girl. She had no rights, no voice, no position, no influence, no friends. She lived in fear, and she had a complete misunderstanding of what God was like until she encountered him. Zacchaeus, on the other hand, was a Jew among Jews. He had rights, he had position, he had influence, he had money. He had a lot going for him in the world's eyes, but he was hated by many of the people because he was a tax collector. You see, the way it went was that the Roman authorities demanded taxes from the Jewish people, so they employed tax collectors. So they were hated on two levels. One, because they were helping the Romans, but more often than not, they would had a little bit more tax than they needed to, so that they creamed it off and kept it for themselves and made themselves rich. So this guy, Zacchaeus, he was not Mr. Nice Guy. He was not Mr. Popular. But Jesus noticed him. Zacchaeus was rich, but he was lost. He had so much in the world's eyes, but he was lost from God. Interestingly, in chapter 18 of Luke, immediately before this, Jesus had told the parable of two men. One was a religious leader who was all puffed up and full of pride and arrogance. And the other was a tax collector who fell on his knees and cried out, "God, have mercy on me." And Jesus says that it is the tax collector who was justified by God that day, not the religious leader. And he goes on from telling that parable to bless little children, saying, "Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." You know, little children are so uncomplicated. They have a very simple faith. They haven't grown to be cynical and deceived by the world's lies. And then after that, Jesus has healed a blind beggar. So it could be that Zacchaeus has heard that all that stuff has just happened, and so he wants to see Jesus for himself. Makes him fight through the crowd to just climb up the tree so that he can see who this person Jesus is. You know, a few weeks ago, we had a retreat day here, and it was led by Graham and Joe Wakeman, who many of you would know. And one of the things that Joe said that really stuck with me was this. She was talking about praying for people who were far away from God, some of them living really ungodly lives, some of them deliberately and had made bad decisions of their own making, others really through no fault of their own, but they were far away from God. And as Jo prayed for those people, the first thing she asked God was, "Show me what they would look like free." And that phrase just stuck with me. Show me what they would look like free. Free from hurt. Free from pain. Free from anger. Free from bitterness. Free from insecurity. Free from being caught up in a web of destructive behavior. Free from a desperate attempt to belong, sometimes looking in all the wrong places to achieve that. What would they look like free? And Jesus looks up and he sees Zacchaeus in a tree, and I believe what Jesus saw was what Zacchaeus would look like free. And he calls him down. "Come down, Zacchaeus." Yes, all right, he might have money, he might have position, he might have influence, he might have even felt successful, but at the end of the day, he was a slave to all the wrong stuff. But there's something in him that wanted to meet with Jesus. I was one of those people that seemed to have it all. But there was something in me that wanted to meet with Jesus. And when I met with Jesus, it totally changed my life. Another thought struck me as I was preparing this about Hagar. You see, Hagar quite possibly thought that by bearing Abraham a son, particularly in that culture, she would become someone. She would belong. She would suddenly be noticed. She might even have privileges in some way. But she ended up being despised by Sarah. You know, even when we are successful, we can end up being despised because of other people's jealousy. Success is not always what it is cracked up to be. But she was noticed and safe in the hands of God the Father. And Zacchaeus the same, albeit for very different reasons. He was successful in many ways. He was clever. He used his own skills for his own benefit and his own advantage. He was certainly rich and powerful, but he was despised. But Jesus noticed him for who he could be, not for what he had become. When God noticed Hagar, he sent, it says, an angel of the Lord. That could have been what is called a theophany, an appearance of God the Son before the baby Jesus was born. But that encounter changed Hagar's life, and it changed her perception of God. She understood him as a God who sees, as a God who cares, as a God who comes to our aid, and as a God who instructs and comforts and provides and is faithful. When Jesus noticed Zacchaeus, that encounter changed his life forever. Immediately, Zacchaeus grabbed a hold of everything that was wrong in his life, and he said, "Enough, I'm done with living like this. I don't want it anymore. I'm going to go the Jesus way." He was set free from that web of deception and found true freedom in following Jesus. So where does all that leave us now? Where does this hit the road on a Monday morning? There's a progression going on here through the Bible. We have God the Father noticing Hagar, a loving, caring God who sees and reaches out and helps. Then we have Jesus, God the Son, who walks the earth and lives amongst his people and notices people like Zacchaeus, a despised tax collector, and calls him by name. And before I move on to the next part, God the Holy Spirit, I want us just to pause as we think about Jesus calling Zacchaeus by name. You see, you might be sitting here this morning and you think, well, I'm not a despised tax collector. I'm not that bad. And neither am I completely voiceless like Hagar the slave girl was. But listen, I've got a list at home. I copied it out of my Bible. It's a list of all the people that Jesus encountered. And what I've done, I've translated it into what it would look like for people today. Jesus noticed and encountered a drug addict, a policeman, the young, the powerful, and those with no social standing. Theologians, criminals, teachers, fishermen, royalty, your neighbours, members of parliament, posh people and poor people, down and outs, local councillors, people in clubs, the confused, the arrogant, the armed forces, foreigners, atheists, people with a shameful past, successful high achievers, and the desperate. They're all there in the New Testament. Every single one, all walks of life, who had their lives transformed because of an encounter with Jesus. Well, Jesus doesn't walk the earth in the same way anymore. to spot the people who in their hearts are searching for him. Now that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Father, he leaves us who follow him to do that. When Jesus ascended into heaven, he sent his Holy Spirit to dwell in us. That's why we're called the body of Christ on earth. And if we're following Jesus today, filled with the Holy Spirit, we're to be looking for those who need to be noticed. To see people like Hagar, the desperate, the sad, the lonely, and to reach out and help them to see who God the Father really is. Maybe we need to see people like Zacchaeus, who have accomplished so much and yet they are lost, and they need to meet Jesus for themselves. God notices everyone, and yet so often we just don't see them. Not with the eyes of the Holy Spirit. They remain invisible. We really don't notice them. I love the poem that Sandy wrote and read earlier, because so many people around us can feel invisible, like they just don't matter to anyone, that nobody really cares about them. Do you know, in this church alone, I was doing some numbers for the prayer day last week, we have got 10% of our church membership are widows or widowers. 10%. And that does not include people who gather here on a Sunday and all those who are living on their own other than the ones that are widows. That's a lot of people. How good are we at noticing each other? And when was the last time that we asked the Holy Spirit to show us someone who needed to know that God noticed them? Last summer, I was praying about this, and I asked God to fill me on this particular morning afresh with his Holy Spirit and show me someone who I could talk to about Jesus. And straight away into my mind's eye came a woman who was blonde, and she was wearing a white t-shirt with a gold star on the front. And I thought, wow, that's awesome. So I quickly got dressed and I walked down the village and looking out for this person. Didn't see anyone. So I went to Costa, and I sat in Costa for about half an hour with a cup of coffee looking for this person. And there was nobody in there remotely like that. So then I tried the co-op, and still nothing, nobody. And actually, to be honest, I went home feeling quite deflated. I thought, oh, well, maybe that's a gift for other people. It was not a gift for me, clearly. A couple of days after that, I went out with one of my girls to visit a friend of theirs. And it was a nice hot summer's day, and we arrived at this house and we sat in the garden, we had lunch. I'd been there a good hour or more. And I suddenly realized that she was blonde and she was wearing a white t-shirt with a gold star on the front. And I thought, wow. And do you know what I did? Nothing. I totally bottled out. I thought, I can't say anything. She's going to think I'm completely bonkers if I start talking to her about Jesus. So I didn't say anything. But I went home, and of course it wouldn't go away. So I messaged her. It was a bit safer. I sent her a message. I just said what had happened. I told her the story that I've just told you. And I just said, you know, I think God just wants you to know that he knows you. He knows who you are. He knows your circumstances. And you know, as it turned out, that was just what she needed to hear. God is truly amazing. Well, maybe you're here this morning and you feel that God doesn't really notice you. Why would he? You're nobody special, just little old me. Why would he care about you? But he does notice you. He does care about you. He created you. Why would he abandon something so precious? Maybe some of us are here this morning and we know that there are things in our lives that aren't right. And we know that God notices them. Maybe we can feel ashamed or unworthy. Jesus called out Zacchaeus I'm coming to your house tonight. Come down immediately. Jesus knew everything about Zacchaeus, and he wanted to be with him. Could you hear the voice of Jesus today calling you? Nothing you've ever done or will do is so bad that Jesus will ever say, I don't want to talk to you. Jesus knows you and loves you and cares for you and wants you to come down and meet with him. You know, my prayer for Florence is that as lovely as she has a lovely earthly father, who I know will love her and protect her and provide for her and do all the wonderful stuff that good fathers do, my prayer is that Florence will come to know that she also has a heavenly father who notices her, who loves her, and will provide for her and protect her and guide her, and that she won't have to spend her life trying to be noticed and possibly trying in all the wrong different directions to feel that she belongs somewhere with all the insecurity that that brings. Because we can have such freedom and such security in us when we truly understand how noticed we are by God, and we find our place of belonging in his family. We were created for that purpose. And when we find our place in his family, we can know true freedom and security in a way that the world will never be able to give us. So let me just pray for us, and then I'll hand back over to James. Father, I want to thank you for your word. Thank you for the encounters that you had with people through the Old Testament and the New Testament. And thank you, Lord, for the myriad of encounters that you have on a daily basis throughout the world today. Lord, would you open our eyes to see you at work? Would you open our hearts to receive your offer of love and acceptance and belonging? And for those of us, Lord, who know you well already and are filled with your Holy Spirit, may we go out into this week walking ever more attentively to the Spirit's leading, seeing those people around us that need to know this week that you notice them. In Jesus' name, amen.